Shalom and Baruch Hashem Adonai. Bless the name of the Lord. Welcome to the Shofar Ministries program. This is Dan with my lovely wife and gifted teacher of God's Word, Reverend Sheila Crawford. Be sure to grab some paper, pen, along with your Bible to take some notes and enjoy searching God's Word.
But first, let us bless the Lord.
Abba, Father, we praise and worship you alone. Remind us in this new year to extend the joy of your Son to the unsaved as you guide us in all areas of our lives. We continue to pray for President Trump that correct decisions are put forth to ultimately fulfill your word. And please protect our many soldiers under his command. Please show merciful favor to the needed request of your saints, particularly for the salvations of our loved ones. And we pray that our descendants desire to better communicate with you by putting your praises on their lips continually. And may tonight's program glorify you as we ask this in Yeshua's name. Amen.
Amen. Well, happy new year to all, and may 2019 prove to be the best year of our lives.
You mean to hear the sounding of the shofar for his bride.
For sure. That would be the greatest year.
So let's share with the listeners what you have for us today.
Well, there have been requests for a while now as to where was the actual Garden of Eden located.
You know, many thought it was in the area of Babylon, which is Iraq today.
Yes, and that's because Adam and Eve's grave sin of disobedience was there, or they think. However, over the years, I have come to believe it was actually the area we call Jerusalem, especially since God carved his initial to represent his name in Jerusalem's landscape. And that's easily seen now by removing all its buildings, which because of great technology, we can now do.
In fact, there's a picture on our webpage if you haven't seen that.
Yes, just click on God's initial on the left side of our front page. But we'll get back to that in a minute or so after a quick summary of the more important news of the day, since, you know, we haven't done that in a few weeks.
No, we haven't. Gosh, where do you want to begin? The government shutdown?
Or will President Trump use his emergency powers to build what we are now calling a steel barrier? There is an important short address to the people tonight at 9 p.m. on just that subject.
Sounds like he wants to make his case, so to speak.
Yes, and we'll speak on the shutdown as well. But I have to say what happened last week is that in the fact that Mueller has been given 6 more months by the grand jury to continue on with his investigation.
Yeah, you know, it's a lot of wasted money and lots of chaos in Washington.
Well, of course, Satan just loves to see, along with his globalists, whose motto is, out of chaos comes order.
Yeah, the New World Order.
You know, well, this craziness is a wait-and-see-what-happens scenario, as President Trump says many times. But I was absolutely appalled to hear that a new congresswoman from Michigan, Rashida Tlaib, maybe is her name. She's an American, but also a Palestinian who has actual family living in the West Bank. So you kind of know where her loyalties lie, and that was certainly demonstrated last week when calling our president of the United States an MF-er, and I'm being kind, and that they were going to impeach him.
She should know that the Senate would never sanction this.
It's a big waste of time adding more chaos and a fluctuating stock market.
All right, so let's move on to Israel, who, as we suspected, has called for early elections.
Yes, on April 9th instead of in November, which, by the way, would have been after the fall feast. And that's why this is so important. But let's back up a bit for our new listeners. There's two main reasons for early elections. Number one, the recent resigning of Israel's Minister of Defense from the Knesset, taking some seats away from Netanyahu's coalition government, thus leaving them with only a slim majority.
Yeah, you know.
Of
that,
one.
Yep. 61 seats out of 120.
this puts them in a difficult situation because now if any leader of the other party groups doesn't get his way, well, he can just threaten to pull out, and, of course, that would collapse the government. So, rather than wait for that to happen, early elections would be a better option.
Especially since Netanyahu believes he will win again.
Yes, he does. And then number two, President Trump wants to unveil the peace plan before November. And Netanyahu knows it's going to upset some of the people on both sides. So he himself wants to feel secure as prime minister before unveiling it. Otherwise, the people just might vote him out if elections were after the unveiling.
Yeah, because President Trump will not wait that long to unveil the peace plan.
Right. He really could use a positive diversion right now. And this is very important. We believe the rapture comes in the fall season, as suggested by James in Chapter 5. But we also know we can't be rescued unless Daniel 9:27's treaty is about to be confirmed.
Which this peace plan could be if it includes the dividing of Jerusalem.
That's right, particularly East Jerusalem, where the Temple Mount is. You know, Scripture implies Israel will lose sovereignty over that area that God won back for them in 1967. And to me, it looks like it's going to go international. But the UN will allow Rome to control it as it was before Jesus' first arrival. And it will be Rome again when Jesus returns, and this time in victory. You know, I have studied Bible prophecy for decades and believe this will be the probable scenario. Israel's so-called peace treaty of 1993, negotiated in Oslo, that did not address Jerusalem. They said, well, we're going to wait until another time for that. Now, we pray this is the time. Not that we want Jerusalem to be divided, but because the Bible, in Joel and Ezekiel, says it will be. And then, 7 years later, after the tribulation, Jesus returns to set up and rule with us from a much better Jerusalem.
But, you know, at this point, we'll still have to be more patient.
And wait and see what happens after the Israeli elections. In the meantime, please utilize your time wisely.
You know, it looks like also we're delaying our departure from Syria.
That's what it seems to be. And, you know, I'm just wondering if President Trump was, like, maybe throwing out more of a threat, especially to the Kurds, who are supposed allies in that region, because it was revealed that the Kurds have been selling oil to Iran.
Yeah, you know, which goes against our sanctions.
And I am wondering if President Trump is displeased, perhaps, about Israel allowing communist China to build two seaports on Israel's Mediterranean coast in the north and down in the south near Gaza. And China will be controlling them for at least 25 years.
You know, that is perplexing.
We know that neither the Kurds nor Israel want us to leave Syria, for we helped both of them. We hold back Turkey, who hate the Kurds for occupying Turkish land, and they actually call them terrorists. And for Israel, the presence of 2,000 American troops in Syria has been helping in blocking overland supply routes from Iran to its Lebanese proxy, Hezbollah. With that said, its air support which is more important because Israel is waging its war on Hezbollah, mostly from the air. Now, what Netanyahu wants from Trump is not necessarily American troops in the neighborhood, but rather his support for Israel to have freedom of action in the skies of Syria and Lebanon and Western Iraq. And that, of course, is going to be able to prevent shipment of advanced Iranian weapons to Hezbollah via Damascus, and preventing Iranian military installations near Israel, which, of course, prevents attacks on Israeli territory. And Russia, which has installed new air defenses in Syria, has thus far respected Israeli security interests. And lastly, I've got to mention that on the evening of the 28th of January, a strange phenomena is going to happen.
A total lunar eclipse.
Yes, but this one is even more special. It's a super blood wolf moon, and it's going to appear in the sky, but only visible above America. Most of the rest of the world, well, they're going to miss out on it. Now, some would argue that, oh, well, this is just a coincidence. But since we know God is the creator of all things, looks to me like it's all been prearranged.
Yeah, because it occurs precisely on the second anniversary of the inauguration of President Trump.
That is interesting. And it also happens on a Jewish holiday, Tu B'Shavat, their new year for trees. And, by the way, wolf moon just means the first full moon of the new year, when apparently wolves howl the most. So anyway, we report, you decide, and let us know what you think about all that.
Okay, yes. And you can send us your thoughts or end time questions by email to Sheila at shofarministries.net or call the office and leave your detailed message 2440-834-9006. Also by regular mail, Post Office Box 513, Burton, Ohio 44021. Your love offerings are extremely needed right now, and as you can imagine, are greatly appreciated, which will then add you to our mailing list to receive our monthly news bites and biblical teachings. You can also donate from our webpage, shofarministries.net, where you will find all the past radio and teaching newsletters archived for your added learning.
Okay. Well, we want to discuss why we believe the Garden of Eden is Jerusalem, and the first reason is that God's word really does make reference to that.
Because of the tree of life.
For sure, as we see it in Genesis 2:9, 3:22, and 3:24, when Adam and Eve sinned, they no longer could eat from it and were expelled from the garden. And then Christians read about it again at the end of his story, how all things will be restored, and the tree of life is once again present in the New Jerusalem.
For all eternity, Revelation 22, verses 2 and 14, I think.
Mm-hmm. And what is truly amazing, he has also put his name into Jerusalem. But before we detail that, let me ask you, as the bride of Christ, do we have access right now to the tree of life?
You know, Scripture says we do.
Oh, not the literal one till we get to the millennial kingdom, but, well, let us read some scriptures, because we know, especially from Proverbs, that wisdom comes from reading the words of our Lord. And Proverbs 3:18 says,
she, speaking of wisdom, is a tree of life to those who take hold of her, and happy are all who retain her.
His word is wisdom, and he compares it with the tree of life. And so as Christians, we also can continually eat from the tree of life just by reading his word, so to continually receive added wisdom that can go on and on and on and on.
Yeah, amen to that.
So, the literal tree of life was in the beginning and will once again be standing at the end. Eden is all of Israel, and the garden was Jerusalem. And once again, according to the end of Revelation, the garden will be there again. Now, let's look at how God has engraved his name into Jerusalem, represented by the 21st letter of the Hebrew alphabet called the Sheen, which stands for Shaddai, the Almighty.
And looks like our W.
It does. And God has engraved this initial, his initial, right into Jerusalem using the three major valleys that trisect the city. The Kidron Valley is on the right side, the shorter Tyropian Valley is up the middle, and the Hinnom Valley is on the left. You should also notice, when looking at the sheen in their alphabet, that there is a dot above the right side. This actually represents where the temple stood and will again. Got to check that out. Now, knowing all that, let's read Deuteronomy 16:2.
Therefore, you shall sacrifice the Passover to the Lord your God from the flock and the herd in the place where the Lord chooses to put his name.
Think about that as we read one more. 1 Kings 11:36.
And to his son I will give one tribe, that my servant David may always have a lamp before me in Jerusalem, the city which I have chosen for myself to put my name there.
That's how special Jerusalem is, and why the evil enemies of Israel all want it. Because one day, Satan, as the Antichrist, will sit in the temple, just like God did, so to be worshipped, making the abomination of desolation.
Yeah, Daniel's chapter 9 and chapter 12.
Right, but his end will be just 3.5 years later from that. And we know, written in Revelation 19, that Jesus returns with us and throws him in the lake of fire. So, the sheen is seen on numerous Jewish articles and for sure on Jewish front doors. It's called a mezuzah, which holds a small written Hebrew scripture of Deuteronomy 6:4-9, also called the Shema. And even some Christians, such as we do, have it on our front door, and some will even put it on the indoor rooms as well. Okay, we said all that to give you still another gold nugget. You can make the sheen with your fingers, and using both hands, bless, in God's name, anyone that needs a blessing.
You know, especially on your children and grandchildren.
Absolutely. In Scripture, it's termed as spreading forth or stretching out thy hands. And this was a command we see in Numbers 6:27 when God tells Aaron to put my name, he said, on the children of Israel, and I will bless them. It's the famous Aaronic blessing, and it's still used a lot today. And in fact, I close every program saying it. You just separate your fingers in the middle and stick out the thumb and to look like a W. And as well, when we raise up our arms, we are also making a sheen using our head for the middle. Now, try to get a visual of that if you haven't done this already. And some of you I know already know all about this. But if you're a new listener, this is just so exciting. So you can see why God, through Paul, commands in his word to lift up holy hands, as in 1 Timothy 2:8. You know, where he says, I desire, therefore, that in every place they pray that men lift up holy hands. Okay, you men out there, every time you pray, you need to lift up your hands. Now, do you remember in Exodus 17 that as long as Moses held up his hands, that Joshua's army prevailed? But when down, the Amalekites prevailed. So Aaron and Hur, H-U-R, supported Moses' hands up and finally defeated their enemy. Now, that's saying something. Also, the seventh plague of hail in Egypt. Remember Exodus 9, Moses told the people that when he spreads out his hands, the plague will stop. And it did, much to Pharaoh's amazement. And again in Exodus 14, Moses lifted the rod and stretched out his hand or his fingers, and the Red Sea parted. And later, with the stretching of his fingers of his hand, the sea closed up, covering the Egyptians, the enemy. So now, when you read scriptures like Psalm 88, verse 9, where David says, I have called daily upon you, I have stretched out my hands, you know what he is really doing and why he is doing it. He's making God's initial. See what a little Hebraic roots knowledge can help you. You can glean a lot and really helps you in your studying of the Word. I have a few more scriptures that I want to read to you now, so I think it will make a lot more sense. In Job 11:13, Zophar urges Job to repent because he assumed Job, well, he must have sinned. So Zophar says, to prepare your heart and stretch out your hands toward him. He said that because it was the best way to pray and worship God. It was really important. I think we should still do that. And in 2 Chronicles 6:13, at the prayer of dedication, Solomon knelt down and, it says, spread out his hands. Psalm 119, verse 48 says, I will lift up my hands to your commandments, which I love. Another one is Psalm 134, verses 1 and 2. And I hope you're taking notes on this. At least write down the scriptures so you can look them up. It says, come bless the Lord, all ye servants of the Lord who stand by night in the house of the Lord. Lift up your hands in the holy place. Remember that song? And bless the Lord, and bless the Lord. So, you bless the Lord when you use his name. It pleases him to see, well, that you even know how to do that or that you should do that. Again, more knowledge about him. I'd like to read a couple more since we have some time. Psalm 28, verse 2, David prays, hear my voice when I lift up my hands toward your sanctuary. Psalm 63, verse 4, thus I will bless you while I live. I will lift up my hands in your name. Again, in Lamentations 2, 19, Jeremiah begs the Jews. He says, lift your hands toward him. And then also it says, let us lift our hearts and hands to God in heaven. And Nehemiah 8:6 says, Ezra blessed the Lord, the great God, and while lifting up their hands, the people answered, amen. With this being the common practice, do you think Jesus did it? Well, of course he did. And scripture confirms that he did in Luke 24 at his ascension back to heaven. Verse 50, it says, and Jesus led them out as far as Bethany, and he lifted up his hands and blessed them. And while he blessed them, he parted from them and was carried up to heaven. Wow. Also check out Daniel 12:7, where he records seeing the man clothed in linen when we know that was the theophany of Jesus. He raised his hands at the end of Daniel's vision. So, when I say the Aaronic blessing today, how about lifting your arms and spreading your fingers, and we can all bless our Lord together. But first let me ask, are you eating from the tree of life? Now, if Jesus is not supreme Lord over you yet, repent of your sins and invite him into your heart. Open that door, because he's knocking right now. Time is really running out. And be sure your relationship with Jesus is intimate and not just some head knowledge. And, of course, how do you know for sure? Well, you'll have a simple passion, a real passion, actually. If Jesus is truly your betrothed one, you'll just have a desire to know him more with that passion that will just draw you into his word to be saturated with his presence. More word, more Jesus. It's just that simple. So crucify that lazy flesh and just do it. Okay, spread those fingers and say the Aaronic blessing with me. The Lord will bless you and keep you. The Lord will make his face shine upon you and be gracious to you. The Lord will lift up his countenance upon you and give you peace. Till next time, Shalom, Shalom, Jerusalem. Pray for the peace of Jerusalem. Those who love her shall prosper in all ways. And that's Psalm 122, verse 6. If you have a prayer request, make sure to send it to me. Till next time, Shalom.
Thanks for listening to this week's broadcast from Shofar Ministries, hosted by Sheila Crawford on AM 1220, The Word. If you would like to help keep this show on the air, please visit the Shofar Ministries website, shofarministries.net. That's all one word, shofarministries.net. Once you're there, click the donate button on the left side of the page, and it will take you to the PayPal secure payment site. If you don't use the internet, you can send your check or money order donation to the following address, Box 513, Burton, Ohio, 44021. That's Box 513, Burton, Ohio, 44021. For any questions or comments about this program, please send an email to Sheila at the following address, Sheila@ShofarMinistries.net. That's Sheila@ShofarMinistries.net. Please join us next Tuesday night at 8 for Shofar Ministries, right here on AM 1220, The Word. The preceding program was brought to you by Shofar Ministries.